Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Joining us in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Alamosa County Commissioner Lori Lasky. We're going to talk to her about her re-election campaign. It's good to see you, Commissioner. How are you?
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Appreciate you coming by and spending a little bit of time and talking about your re-election campaign coming up here in November. Before we get into your campaign for a second term on the Alamosa County Board of Commissioners, I want to ask you first about your work on power transmission. You've been leading Alamosa County's efforts to develop additional transmission capacity for the San Luis Valley, and Alamosa County recently was awarded $1.7 million to keep that planning moving forward. I'm taking it. Give us an update or tell us where you are with that work.
Well, thank you, Chris. Yes, it's very exciting. In fact, when you look at this actual grant, there was only 20 of them in the United States that were awarded for transmission line planning and transmission corridors. So it was a very competitive grant, and we were able to receive that. What we are looking at is what we've noticed the last 3 years. People have come to me, and there's concerns over electricity and reliability. And if you look at it, in the San Luis Valley, all of our power lines come in through one corridor over Poncha Pass. And that corridor is at risk for a multitude of things, including fire. And with that, we were looking at what other ways that we could make sure that at least for the next 40, 50 years, we are set up to be able to have reliable transmission. And we looked, and it needs to be an additional line. So this grant will go out and look at three different corridors, maybe four. It's up to the company that we hire to do that and say, what are the best options for the San Luis Valley? What are we going to do? And so I'm really excited about that. We have, like I said, New Mexico is participating. Senator Bennett was down a couple weeks ago, was very interested in this topic, and he has been very supportive of us throughout this process. So,
you know, listening to you kind of recite the problem, the need for more transmission, and I'm thinking back to our first conversations when you first became a county commissioner, and I have to say that you've really learned that topic. You can recite it, talk it now like an expert as a county commissioner. What other learnings have you taken through this position? I mean, you're talking transmission like you know what's going on. Very impressive. You've been working on that. What other learnings as a county commissioner have you taken away or have you achieved for yourself?
Well, thank you, Chris. And I think this is one of the things that I'm so excited about, too, is the experience that I have is important to learn these things. Another one that I had no idea when I was elected that I would have any involvement with is the opioid epidemic and that process and what is needed for our citizens here. All of these were stemmed by needs in the community. These were not things that I came in and said, ooh, this is what I want to do. This was brought up by our community saying, hey, we have a need. And I felt it was important for me to jump in and to learn about it, to be an advocate, and to try to resolve some of these things. So I would say that I am learning way more about property tax and mill levies. Mm. I grew up with traditional math that was percentages, and then they're like, oh, yeah, mill levy, 1,000% of one of, you know, those things. So I feel that I've become very well versed in these topics that I had no idea. But that's what my job is to meet the needs of the community. So I'm thrilled that those came forward, and I really appreciate the opportunity. So, you know, yeah, ask me something about opioids. I'm getting better on that, too.
Well, you, the county commissioners in Alamosa County sold the old jail property, and tell me I'm wrong. I'm thinking of the property on 285 that you were able to finally sell to a outfit that's now in providing services for opioid treatment,
yes.
Right? So
first,
that's where you moved when you're thinking of your record as county commissioner and you're thinking of opioids. I would say that's how you move the needle on that, is securing that transaction and then bringing in a company to offer opioid treatments. Tell us about that. I'm not that familiar there because it's not honestly an area I spent a lot of time in think myself, but I know you have.
So first, that building was actually called Youth Track, and it was for youth. It wasn't, it's on county property, but the building itself, that entity came in, and we had written in the conversation that if it was, or in the agreement, if it was never used for that purpose to help youth and youth in the law enforcement realm, that that property needed to revert back. That property was actually purchased back by the county, and we held it for a while. And when we saw this opportunity to actually get a treatment center, which we have not had a treatment center for decades, we have amazing support in the community with the different entities that are helping this, all of these different things, but we did not have a treatment center. People had to drive over a pass. So when Hope in the Valley came to us and discussed what they wanted to do, we kind of blended together. We went over and said, I visited with Reed and Ronnie Wisdom, and I went over and said, look at this building. What do you think? And that's kind of here how it started to support. And there's multiple elements of recovery in substance use disorder. So we're also working on different elements of partnering with, trying to work with people in recovery housing, which we've had opened up. We've had a substantial increase of peers working in the community. We actually went from zero to, I have nine of them now, working with our council that are actually employed and being certified. So I feel like we've done a good job. You've had Attorney General Phil Weiser on the show. He has indicated that we are actually setting a standard for the state of Colorado and the nation.
He singled you out.
He did. In
As
fact, I am
doing good work. He singled you out.
I appreciate it. In fact, he stated extraordinary leadership, which really makes me feel good. And I will be speaking at one of his conferences about best practices in implementing these type of programs in rural areas.
Interesting.
And I put emphasis on rural areas because there is a difference in what you do in downtown Denver and what you do here. I'm not saying easier or harder, but it is different.
Another area you brought up was in your learnings and lessons as a county commissioner in your first term, property taxes, mill levies, property assessments. The state legislature just a couple of weeks ago was back in a special session, approved a new bill that lowers residential property assessments. I'm going to assume that that means less revenue for county governments like Alamosa County. I don't know how you see that particular effort by the legislature to reduce residential property assessments and what that now means for Alamosa County, because you're probably in your budget process thinking of your next budget. What's the outcome of that special legislative session? What's the impact it could have on county spending, and how do you make that up?
Thank you, Chris. Very complicated topic, and one that I definitely learned a lot about. One of the things that happened in the last few years is property taxes skyrocketed. It has not done that quite as much in the rural areas, which was the area that I was representing. I was appointed to the Property Tax Commission, and I was there to represent rural areas. If you look at our increases, for example, in Alamosa County, they have gone up, but they've gone up a little bit at a time. Most of the years, they have not gone up as much as inflation, for example. Some years it has. So the goal going into this was to provide property tax relief. We want people to stay in their houses. They need to be able to function and live and have food. And things that happened on the Front Range actually elevated a lot of the stuff here in the valley. You know, people were able to sell houses at prices higher than they were appraised. And we just saw something that has never been seen in the last few years in property tax. So our goal was to provide relief to our citizens and do that while still trying to balance the services that we offer in the county. So for example, if you look at public health, part of public health, those funds actually come in, like Department of Human Services, those come from a mill levy, mm-hmm. a portion of it, or community development. Let me do that. Let me take out public health. Public health, we attribute to that budget a dollar for every citizen in the county. That's how we supplement. And then a lot of the other funds might come from the state or federal via the state. But when you look into some of the other elements of it, it's a balancing act of what to do. You know, everything's good when you have all the money, but that has never been the case in any entity that I've been in, that there's unlimited funds.
Right.
So we really tried to look at balancing it. But yes, we are actually looking at less revenue. And the reason I say it is less revenue is because of that element in our budget. We are looking at even less revenue going into 2025. There were some backfill elements that the state was doing in some of the bills in the past that aren't going to be there. We have reduced the assessment rate on these properties. We have also taken off amount of their value when we're determining that. So it will be less revenue for the county.
So let me ask you, because then you're projecting less revenue would then mean that you have less to spend. Where do you reduce then your expenses, or how do you see the county dealing with less revenue? Where are those expenses? How do you lower that?
That is a tough question, and it's something we're looking at. I, for one, have reduced some of my travel budget. I do not go usually. Historically, there is a meeting pretty much every month in Denver. I have reduced that, and I'm doing some of that on Zoom. That's one of the things. But we're looking at it. And let me go back. What our hope is that this is not continuously painful. What is supposed to happen, the philosophy behind this bill that was done in special session, is that we reduce those rates, but there should be an increase in the values of property to where there's not as much of a reduced revenue in the future.
Gotcha.
We're hoping that it moves forward. Now, if you add in cost, if you add in inflation, we may lose.
Well, and that's where, as a property owner, and you know, I don't know about you, but I know I look at my property and it's hard to understand why your property values keep going up. It's, you're not selling, but the value, appraisal value, keeps rising, and that's because the sales keep going up. So then your property goes up as an appraised value, right? That's, I think, where people are like, because you're paying more property tax eventually as your valuation goes up in your property. And it's just kind of this cycle that we're seeing where property just keeps going up and up. And I don't know about how you see that.
You are correct, Chris. That is difficult. Every 2 years, we do a reassessment. And that's where the assessor's office actually goes through and looks at the value of property. And you're correct. It is based on comparable sales at that time for like that 15, 18 months before, what the comparable sales are of those properties. So you're right. You could have moved into a house, and I really think about some of our residents that have lived in their same family home for 50, 60 years. And all of a sudden, this price is going up with what's around it. One of the things that I can say is I'm continuing on the Property Tax Commission because there's some additional things we need to look at. There were some things that didn't go through that I wanted to go through. For example, senior citizens, their exemption if they were to move homes. Right now, if you're over 65, and there's a lot of criteria here, so by all means, I don't want to oversimplify it, but they can get a reduced property tax, but they have to be in that home for 10 years. What if they want to downsize? What if they want to move into something closer to medical care or something? That exemptions or that provision kind of goes away, and that's one of the things that wasn't addressed, or I didn't think was addressed adequately in this bill. So it's continuing on, and hopefully we'll get to see some of that.
But as a county commissioner, when you look and examine and you're figuring out your budget and how much tax revenue there is to spend, as a county commissioner, do you have philosophical values of saying, I prioritize this area for spending, not so much this area? Are those areas where you're saying we have to fund this? Question them, where do we have to really fund this, as you're thinking through those decisions of where you're spending money?
Well, thank you, Chris. Yes. One of things I can say is it's not as much. We do have some philosophies, but the majority of our spending is set by state statute. We are required by state statute to have a jail. Mm-hmm. So that will be something that will be funded. We are required to have a public health. We are required to have a Department of Human Services. We're required to have a coroner's office. We're required to run elections. So all of those things we look in and we look at and try to really, it's a really difficult balancing act. As far as the philosophy, what I can tell you, what I am seeing and what I kind of feel is our people are important. We are a service industry. I want to make sure when our constituents go into an office that they are serviced, that those people are there, they have good customer service. I want to make sure those things are done, and we're a service industry, so the people are the first part. And if you look from the time that I came in until even this going into this next budget year, we have increased as much as possible some of those salaries. I shouldn't say as much as possible. There's been an increase. We are keeping up. We have offered a COLA of some sort. The next priority that I look at is, of course, we always want to look at the safety of our community. So that's one that we work with. Sometimes those are very expensive, but I think if you go back and look from when I came in 2021 through, you'll see a significant, I shouldn't say significant, because nothing in funding is ever really significant, but there has been an increase to try to support those. I wish there was all the money in the world and we could do what we need to do, but that's not the reality. And you have to sit down with a pencil and pen and go through it. It's not a reality that you can say, oh, I'm going to fund everything at this.
It's helpful to hear you talk about the areas of county government that you have to fund, that the state requires their county governments to fund, a jail, public health, health and human services, those types of activities. You have to, that's mandated. Let me ask you about the jail, about the sheriff, because I know that that's been an area of recent conversation, negotiation with the sheriff, thinking or seeing that his staff is underpaid or lower than peer institutions, peer county sheriff offices. Where are you as a county commissioner in looking at that topic of pay for sheriff's departments, sheriff's jail, in context to your budget and in context to moving forward? Where are you in those, if you can tell, as those negotiations, if you will, with the sheriff and his staff? I don't know if you've wrapped that up or not.
Well, we're currently in the process of developing the 2025 budget. And when we do that, we actually have every department come in and visit with us and share with us what their needs are, what they're looking at, staffing, what staffing, you know, is there, what additional staffing is going forward. And we have had the opportunity, I would say we're probably about 95% done with visiting. So we have had the opportunity to meet with the sheriff. And I have to say, the sheriff is fantastic in always fighting for his department. Mm-hmm. And he will do that. He has a strong team with, you know, Chief Anderson and Captain Duarte. They are very good, and they're advocates for their people, which I would expect from every department, quite honestly. They are advocates for their department. When you're a commissioner, you're looking at a broader category. You're looking at those items. I myself feel like we're in a good place moving forward. Yeah, I would love to do more. We have amazing people, if I could do it. But I'm working with taxpayers' money, and mm-hmm. it's a definite amount. It's an infinite, it's not, I'm not the federal government. I can't take out money that's not there. We only get what we get, and that has to be set in there. So I feel like in the realm that we have, with the funds that we have, we are doing the best job. And I have to compliment my fellow commissioners too. This is not easy. We spend hours and hours, 8-hour days, going through this, and even going down to, well, what if we pull 500 from here and here? What if we, you know, hold off on a new telephone system? Is that a service to our customers or not? Well, we're going to have to do that because we have to implement another unfunded mandate of a new web page that is causing, you know, substantially more.
Gotcha.
It's a constant looking and a constant, you know,
well, and
challenge.
I would think in that respect, it's helpful to have priority areas, helpful to say we have to fund this because the state requires mm-hmm. it. It's helpful to know those priorities and then what you can do on top of that, right?
I wish there was more on top of. But yes, and I would also invite anybody. I work with the budget a lot. Come in. I will sit down and go through it. Another one that has been brought to our attention by our community members is roads. Our roads, you know, need work. The highway user funds that are allocated to roads is not enough. So that is something. We have culverts that are failing. In fact, we've had a couple on the Stanley Road that we've had to close the road to get those fixed. We have roads that we are needing to maintain, and that equipment is expensive. Talk about a learning process. When I came in, I never knew you could spend $800,000 on a piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. But that's actually quite common in our road and bridge and in our airport too. So mm-hmm.
You've been doing a lot of work on the airport. Let me ask you a couple other things. And again, we appreciate all the time you're giving in this morning, and we're talking about your reelection campaign as a county commissioner. What have been those moments over the past 3-4 years that you've been a commissioner where you've wondered or you've thought differently, or what has changed your mind from maybe what you thought going into being a county commissioner? What have been those moments of your eyes are open, insights, things like that? What has caught you off guard? What have been those moments for you in the last 4 years where you're, wow, this is a job?
I appreciate this question, Chris, because I think experience is important. Probably the first thing is I did not realize coming in, and even though I'd looked through the budget, how many things are actually controlled by statute and at the state level. For example, public health, that we have to put a dollar forward out of our general funds for every person in the county. Those little nuances that are in there that I was not aware of. I think that was a big learning thing, that we have to have an assessor's office. We have to do, you know, we have a public trustee. Those elements that I knew were there, but I really thought there could be a little more flexibility. And those are pretty prescribed by the state, all of those areas. So that's the first thing. In fact, when I was running, I looked at the budget and I really thought we could utilize more and put more, for example, into the sheriff's office. Well, when I got in there and looked at it, we have about $20 million that comes in out of our budget that is restricted to Department of Human Services. Those are state funds. Those are not funds that commissioners can change or move or put to a different area. And I think that's why it's important to really get in there and work on that stuff. You can make those broad statements of pulling from here or there until you get in there and look at them and realize. So that was a big learning thing. The second is I had never worked with a 139 airport, as you bring that up, and what those requirements are. The FAA requires substantial investments into airports if they're to be a 139 airport. Now, I'm excited that we have that. That provides a larger plane to move in. And I can tell you, employments are up this year. Mm-hmm. They're up from last year. They have consistently gone up every year. So that means our community is utilizing that resource, and that is something that they need. And we're continuing to talk to them about changing those times that they fly in. But that means if we have a 139 airport, we have to invest in it if we want to keep it at that level. Didn't realize the level of that. The county is actually supplementing the airport, you know, always will be, but we feel that that's a service and that's important to our community, not only for visitors and tourism, but also for employment. We have a lot of people that fly in for interviews at, you know, SLV Health or et cetera. So that's something, and I have a whole list of things that I learned, but we don't have that much time today.
what about some of those constituent relationships? How do you, and I don't know if you worry about this as a public official, how am I viewed? How do people see me? Am I a commissioner that everyone can get behind? How do you see some of those constituent issues? Because I know in that chamber at times it can get intense.
It can. I guess I want my constituents to know that I'm genuine, that I'm hardworking, and I am truly trying my best. And sometimes when those things come in, there are legal things that we can't, that we have to look at. And I know we have brought a lot of things forward that sometimes people may not. They may not choose to bring forward, but we want public input. And I'm very proud of my fellow commissioners and quite honestly myself for doing that. We're bringing the hard topics forward and we're asking for public feedback on it as opposed to just saying, you know, that isn't going to come forward. We want to hear. I do worry about it because people need to ask me. They need to. I would be happy to sit down and visit with them. And going into an election year, of course, it's always concerning. I want to run for another term. I am running for another term. I feel that I've done a good job, but it comes down to the voters.
Yeah. Have there been moments when you walked into those chambers and said, I'm probably going this direction on this issue with this vote, and then you get up there and things change? Have there been moments where you've maybe either reverse course or had your mind changed about something, and what have some of those been, if so?
I have, because I take it very serious what our constituents say. And when I go into it, I research and I do the stuff, and that's what's in writing and what's on paper and what I can find. But I'm here to serve our citizens. And so we open them up and we look at the discussion. And one that was very controversial that I was concerned about is at one point we were going to make a statement that we had limited funds and it was difficult for us to have influx of people coming into our community. Going into that, originally all I was hearing is that we're at capacity, we don't have housing, we don't have resources, all of these things. Well, after hearing what our community did, it was really cool. We had churches come up and saying, we're here to help. And we had citizens saying, we're going to help. And we had entities that were coming forward. And it did allow me to say, you know what, maybe the resources are here. They weren't there on paper when I was reviewing it beforehand. But after hearing that feedback, it does, that those resources are there. They're just not in the county realm. They're in other areas in our community.
Interesting. You know, listening to you again, and we've talked a couple of times with you during your 4 years as county commissioner, it really sounds like you're learning both the bureaucracy of being a county commissioner and county government and how it interacts with the state, and you're learning a lot about the lingo and how to put out their property tax issues and all those different hairy topics, knotty topics that you're dealing with as a county commissioner. We appreciate you coming by. I want to give you your last statement here for yourself in why you think people should vote for you, why you want to serve another 4 years as county commissioner. And again, we appreciate your time this morning.
Well, thank you, Chris. Well, first of all, I want to thank our community because it's been an honor to serve, and I want to continue to serve. I think I am a strong candidate, actually the strongest candidate at this point with my experience coming in with the elements that we're working on. I think that experience is key. I also have a high level of you know, integrity, dedication. I work very hard at this position. I'm in a lot of events. I make sure that I'm supporting our community. Saturday, I was supporting a youth fashion show at Bullfrogs and Butterflies. And, you know, and then at Society Hall on Saturday night. And I feel that I have put a lot into this. I think I'm a good candidate. I was born and raised here in Alamosa. I went to Alamosa High School, Adams State University. I have a small business, recreational business, that we do trail rides and work for tourists that come in. I always think that's a good funding source for our community. And then I also have a connection to the ag. We raise horses and alfalfa, and we've got a few cows. And so I feel like I'm a good representative of this community. And I've tried hard, and I just hope that people research and reach out to me and ask me any of this stuff that we've talked about. I'm very open. I would love to sit down. I will go through the budget. In fact, I've done that with people. People have said, I've paid taxes for 30 years. How come my road isn't blade enough? I took the budget out with me to this person, and we sat down, and we went through it and looked at it, and they can see the challenges that we have as a county. So thank you very much, though, for this opportunity to come in.
Yeah, we really appreciate your time and wish you all the best as you campaign over the next period of weeks. November 5th is the election. That will wrap it up for this episode of the Valley Pod. You've been listening to our episode with Alamosa County Commissioner Lori Lasky. We do hope you make a plan to vote on November 5th. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. Hey, we'll see you around the Valley.
Are you a member of the Monte Vista Co-op? Now is the best time to become a member and take advantage of the benefits. Propane, oil, crop protection, drone application, farm and ranch supplies, and much more. Visit mvcoop.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram for all company sales, promotions, community events, and job opportunities. Serving our community since 1949, the Monte Vista Co-op is committed to providing the highest quality products and services. Call us at 719-852-5181 or visit our website, mvcoop.com, today. Monte Vista Co-op, community committed, agriculturally driven.
As easy as it would be to stay in and binge your favorite show, you don't want to miss out on all the events happening in the San Luis Valley this summer. The Valley Calendar helps you stay in the know when it comes to community social runs, holiday events, live music, and more. It's the most comprehensive and useful listing in the Valley. If you have an event coming up, be sure to submit it to the Valley Calendar on AlamosaCitizen.com. Let's have some fun this summer.